Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 463, an interview with Lucy Commissar about Saddam's money network. This is being recorded on June 6th of the year 2004, and it is my pleasure and privilege once again to present independent journalist Lucy Commissar, who has just published an article with UPI about Saddam Hussein's money network. Lucy, welcome back once again to our airwaves.
Thank you.
In our previous interviews, Lucy, we've spoken about the Clearstream network. It's a very complex topic and one that filled up a couple of previous interviews. I'm going to ask the impossible. If you could just give us a thumbnail synopsis of what the Clearstream network is for the benefit of listeners who did not hear those interviews.
Okay. It started quite a few years ago when dollars started being moved and traded overseas, kept in banks overseas, and the Chinese and Soviets had invented euro dollars in the 50s. They didn't want to keep their money, their assets, their dollar assets in banks where the U.S. government could get to them. But other people and institutions saw some value in the euro dollars. They began to trade them for other currencies, and so you got banks outside the U.S. Euroclear and Sedel, and we're interested in Sedel, which later took the name of Clearstream. Were institutions set up to handle the transfers of these euro dollars, Sedel in Luxembourg and Euroclear in Brussels. And then they moved into handling the transfers of titles of stocks and bonds and other financial instruments. So they're sort of like what SWIFT is for dollars, moving dollars around the world between banks. They move financial paper. That is what Clearstream is.
Lucy, in For the Record 387, I interviewed you about several of your early articles on the Clearstream Network, including an In These Times article titled Explosive Revelations. In that story, you delineated how Clearstream was utilized by the Altaqua Network. And once again, I'm going to ask a very, perhaps almost impossible thing of you, which is to give us a brief overview, again, a synopsis of what Altaqua is, and how it utilized the Clearstream network. And go ahead.
Altaqua was a shell bank set up by people involved in supporting bin Laden, a man named Nada, N-A-D-A, who's an Egyptian, based in Switzerland, with also related institutions, shell companies in Liechtenstein, and elsewhere. And as a shell bank, it wasn't a real bank. It didn't have a building, for example, or a staff. It really operated just through correspondent accounts in the Banco del Gotardo. A correspondent account is an account that a bank has in another bank, usually in another country, so it can do business in that country. The Banco del Gotardo is based in Lugano, Switzerland, and has a subsidiary in Monaco, another one in Nassau. And the Altaqua Bank was set up as a shell company in Nassau, and its money moving through the Banco del Gotardo, which was a real bank. And this is how Al-Qaeda moved its money through this shell bank. The Altaqua Bank was shut down after 9/11 by the Americans in a very dramatic, they got the Swiss and people in Italy and Liechtenstein, the police, to go to the various Altaqua venues and seize the documents, and then they were shut down.
One of the things that, for the benefit of listeners who have heard previous programs, or for the benefit of people maybe who have not, Youssef Nada was also alleged in the book Dollars for Terror to have been an agent of the Abwehr in World War II. That was the German military intelligence service. And in a series published in the Asia Times in the fall of 2002, it was alleged that he helped Haj Amin al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, escape from Germany to Palestine at the end of World War II. Lucy, Kroll Associates, a private intelligence and security firm, conducted an investigation of Saddam's financial operations. I wonder if you would tell us about that investigation, who commissioned it, and this sort of helped to provide some of the foundation for your UPI article.
It was commissioned by Kuwait after the Gulf War. Kuwait was looking for Iraqi assets that it can claim as compensation. So, as Jules Kroll told me, he said, In 1990, we were given the assignment and paid by the government of Kuwait. They wanted to find Iraq's procurement network and find assets outside that could be used to fuel the regime and buy weapons. And the report was also given to the U.S., to the Treasury Department's Office of Financial Assets Control, OFAC. And he said that, well, what they found, I have a copy of the report, actually. It was done in 1991 and then updated in 2001. They found, among other things, that two Swiss companies, one the MEDP Holding Company, the corporation in Lugano, was a holding company that handled money for Saddam, that he had skimmed off oil sales and from as arms kickbacks, arms purchase kickbacks, and they found that one of the middlemen helping Saddam, particularly in the oil sales, which was one of the major ways that he skimmed money, was Mark Rich, who was the U.S. tax evader pardoned by President Nixon. And according to this report,
President Clinton, excuse me.
I'm sorry, President Clinton. Why am I thinking of Nixon?
He got his own pardon in his own way.
Yes, he did. That must be it. And Rich had been indicted by the U.S. in 1983 for evading more than $48 million in taxes. And so what's interesting is that this report was turned over to the Treasury in 1991. That meant that Clinton, when he gave Rich a pardon, knew all about the fact that Rich had been involved in helping Saddam get rake-offs from oil sales. The Kroll report also dealt with Nadmi Auchi, who was another person who was moving money for Saddam. He was a cousin of Saddam. And Kroll said, one of the interesting things I found was this report was done in 1991, and it gives a lot of detail about individuals involved in this laundering network. I just gave a few examples. He said, until 9/11, he told me, a few staff members at the Office of Foreign Assets Control, the Treasury, were the only ones spending any energy on this issue in an organized way. He said, quote, "The level of ignorance at the CIA was total. At the FBI, it was beyond total. The law enforcement and intelligence community in the U.S. was behind the curve. It was of little interest to them," he told me.
I can believe that. Sadly, things, this whole society has fallen behind the curve. But that's a subject for many, many other broadcasts. Lucy, I wonder if you would describe for us some of the areas of overlap between the Al-Qaeda money network, such as the Al-Taqwa network, and the network that was used by Saddam Hussein to conduct his financial transactions.
Okay. One, there was a father and son team in Liechtenstein, Engelbert Schreiber and Engelbert Schreiber Jr. Their business is setting up shell companies and secret bank accounts, and they did that to move the money of Saddam and the money of Al-Qaeda. The irony is that when Bush talks about the link between Saddam and Al-Qaeda, there is a link. It's not the one that he would suggest, that Saddam perhaps was financing Al-Qaeda. The link is that the Western financial system, the offshore financial system, was helping both of them, was moving the money for both of them, and that was the link, the Western financial system. So the Schreibers, one of them or the other one, in various cases, are listed as founder or board member of Mediterranean Enterprises Development Projects. That's the MEDP I mentioned. Tradex, Techno Service, Inc., International, Sadomin, and Executive Flight Assistance. These are all Liechtenstein shell companies that handled arms sales and payoffs for Saddam. Well, this same duo, this father and son, are listed on corporate documents for Nasreddin International Group Limited Holding in Liechtenstein. Now, Ahmed Idris Nasreddin was a founder of the Al-Taqwa Bank that moved money for Al-Qaeda, and he's on the U.S. terrorist blacklist. I called the Schreibers and emailed them, and they would not respond to any requests for comment. Let me give you another example. One of the men linked in documents I have to several Panama shell companies that were used in the Saddam network was Baudouin Dunant. He's a Swiss lawyer.
Lucy, one second. I'm just going to spell that for listeners. Baudoin is his first name. Dunand is his last name. Go ahead.
He's a Swiss lawyer, Geneva. He is administrator of the Saudi investment company, SECO. That is the investment, the Geneva investment affiliate of the Bin Laden family conglomerate, which is run by Osama Bin Laden's half-brother, Yeslam Bin Laden. And Mr. Dunand would not reply to my request for a comment. Another example of an institution that worked for both of these, both for al-Qaeda and for Saddam, the Banca del Gottardo in Lugano, Switzerland. It moved the al-Qaeda money, as I indicated, via the Al-Taqwa Bank through correspondence accounts in Nassau. It also handled payments for the Saddam money network. And I have documents showing transfers of money from shell companies run by the Saddam network to as payoffs to various individuals. And these are, of course, offshore banks in places like Switzerland or Liechtenstein. There is another one is the Banque Paribas. That's headquartered in Paris. A big portion of its shares are owned by Nadmi Auchi, Saddam's cousin, and it moved money for the Saddam network in the 1980s. It was also the bank chosen to handle the Iraqi oil for food payments. That's interesting, isn't it?
Indeed. Yes, indeed. Before we continue with the oil for food payments, just a couple of points, because we're dealing with a lot of names that are not exactly household words. Now, Baudin Dunand involved both with the Al-Taqwa and SECO machinations, and also with Saddam's, some of the Panama shell companies used by Saddam. He is a member of the board of directors of the SECO, the European holding company that handles the Bin Laden family's business interests in Europe, which are considerable. Bear in mind, for listeners, that the Bin Laden family is fabulously wealthy. These are not just a bunch of dog patchers here. The aforementioned Baudin Dunand was also a good friend of and the lawyer for the late François Genoux, who was a prime operative of the Odessa Network, helped to with the post-war banking of Nazi funds, and Ernest Bacchus, of whom Lucy has spoken in past interviews, and who was involved with setting up the Clearstream Network in interviews, both with the Luxembourg journal Plus Minus and also with Bayerischer Rundfunk, the Bavarian state radio. Both interviews in the immediate aftermath of September 11th, Ernest Bacchus gave the opinion that when the money trail for September 11th was finally tracked down, that it would lead to a Swiss organization that was founded by François Genoux and was still operating, even though Genoux himself died in 1996. And that's talked about in numerous programs. So, again, tying in the name Baudin Dunand and François Genoux, names we've dealt with in the past, and now, once again, we're running into Baudin Dunand in connection with the Saddam network here. Lucy, let me also spell some of the names. Nadmi Auchi is A-U-C-H-I, is the gentleman's last name. He is Saddam's cousin. So continue. If you could flesh out, again, some of the cast of characters here, bearing in mind that these are not people whose names are household words. Proceed, Lucy.
Well, Dunand, for example, he is a partner in the law firm Magnin, Dunand and Partners. They set up the Swiss financial services company SBA, which is a subsidiary of SBA Bank in Paris, which is controlled by Mahfouz Salem bin Mahfouz, who's part of the Mahfouz banking family. And one of the members of that family was involved in the BCCI scandal.
And also, by the way, Lucy, excuse me for interrupting, also deeply involved with some of the financing of George W. Bush's oil ventures.
Indeed, they have their fingers in a lot of pies. Again, about what's interesting about Banque Paribas, which Nadmi Auchi is connected to, and which is the bank that handled the oil for food payments. a corporate document for the Altaqua Trade Property and Industry Company Limited of Liechtenstein, one of the shell companies in the Al-Qaeda network, which was shut down by the U.S., lists Bank Paribas, Lugano, where it had accounts. So, again, they use their favorite banks whenever they need to have a bank where they can have a secret account where they can move money and nobody's going to bother them.
Lucy, one of the questions that I have about this, one of the points that I think is interesting about the research that you brought to light, Saddam actually began building this network in 1968. That was well before he came to power.
Yeah, it was. He was in a position where he could get some oil rake-offs even before the coup that got him into power. So he sent his half-brother, Barzan Ibrahim Hassan al-Tikriti, to Geneva to set up a network which would launder the secret commissions on the sales of Iraqi crude oil. And it would also be used for kickbacks in the future from on purchases from Western arms dealers. That is, if you gave a contract to some Western arms manufacturer, they were expected to kick back some money into your secret account. And Liechtenstein was also used in this network that was set up by Barzan. Accounts and shell companies, both in Switzerland and in Liechtenstein. The key Iraqis in the operation were Saeed Rahim Hussein al-Mahdi and Nadmi Alki. Al-Mahdi was sent to Lugano because his father-in-law was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood and was then working in Geneva for Barzan. Barzan, by the way, is now in U.S. custody.
By the way, if you could spell that last gentleman's last name.
Barzan?
Yes, please.
B-A-R-Z-A-N.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Now, so Al-Mahdi set up his system of secret companies and accounts with the assistance of some of the prominent asset managers, which is a euphemism, of course. They're also called trustees or fiduciaries. These are the people that set up the shell companies and secret bank accounts. One was called Elio Boradori in Lugano. Another one was Enrico Walser and Engelbert Schreiber in Liechtenstein. And he also used some people in Panama and the Bahamas. And interestingly, the same four jurisdictions were used to launder money in the oil for food sales scandal of the 1990s. So he set up, Al-Mahdi set up the MEDP, Mediterranean Enterprise for Development and Projects, registered in Lugano. It had subsidiaries, which are just paper shells, in New York. In fact, they had an address at 900 Third Avenue, New York City, incorporated in 1984. Other shells in London, Paris, Milan, Vienna, Tokyo, Seoul, and Sao Paulo. The subsidiary in Baghdad was chaired by Nasir Alki, Nadmi's brother. And those shells had shares of other companies that carried out the money laundering and the arms purchases.
Reviewing some of what we've looked at so far, we're looking at an international network which obviously overlaps some of these offshore banking havens that we've discussed in our first two interviews, FTR 387 and FTR 458. By the way, both of them streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery. And in this case, we're looking at networks which also overlap the Al-Qaeda funding networks, and or at least some of them, and the Altaqua network of the Muslim Brotherhood, about which listeners have heard at great length over the years. The networks here were used both for some shady financial transactions involving oil deals and also weapons. So I guess one could say that we're looking at how, if oil and water don't mix, perhaps oil and blood mix a little bit better, at least in some of these offshore bank havens. Elio Boradori, tell us a little bit more about him.
He's a guy who was one of the prime money launderers in Lugano. Right now, he's of advanced age and he's retired. But for a while, he was one of the most active guys in Lugano. And a very interesting book has been written about him in Italian by Paolo Fusi, and published in Lugano. He was involved not only in this kind of political stuff with somebody like Saddam, but he was involved with the Italian mafia, drug traffickers, all kinds of dirty dealings. These guys will work for anybody. They provide a service.
Paolo Fusi, that last name is F-U-S-I. What's the title of his book? This is the Cashier of Saddam.
Right. Il Cassiere di Saddam.
Do you know, is that going to be published in English ever?
I don't know.
So far only in Italian.
I've seen it only in Italian. I'm not aware that it's been published in any other language.
All righty, Lucy. We have about 8 minutes left on this side of the interview. The network that was used by Saddam has, obviously, it ranges around the world. And one of the things that that network was used for was for handling the finances from transactions that Saddam had with many of the world's top arms manufacturers. We'll go into some of these transactions later, but what are some of the companies that were involved with these dealings with Saddam and using the network that you've been setting forth for us?
Well, I have documents that indicate kickbacks from MBB, which is Messerschmitt Bulkau Blohm Helicopter and Military Aircraft Group, Germany, Tyson Industries, Germany, Airbus, which is the consortium of French, German, Spanish, and British air companies, and Dassault in France, and they use these accounts to pay kickbacks, and in some cases, after international embargoes were established against Saddam, to hide illegal sales.
And we'll go into some of those, time permitting, later on in the program. One of the institutions that overlaps the bank, Altaqua, and that, as you mentioned, had been the institution that had the Satan account for Saddam Hussein was the Banco del Gotardo. Lucy, briefly, would you review some of the interesting history of that institution? Because there are a lot of very interesting historical outcroppings that have touched on the Banco del Gotardo.
The Banco del Gotardo in the 70s was the Swiss subsidiary of Banco Ambrosiano, the Vatican Bank, which collapsed in 1982 in a billion-dollar fraud that involved money siphoned off to offshore shell companies and accounts. Before it collapsed, Ambrosiano laundered drug and arms trafficking money for the Italian and American mafias and did a lot of other dirty deals. Then Banco del Gotardo, in years to come, worked for or some other not very salubrious individuals. For example, when Boris Yeltsin, as Russian president, hired a Swiss construction company to do some refurbishing and reconstruction of Kremlin buildings, part of the deal was kickbacks, and the Banco del Gotardo handled that kickback. Those kickbacks, I saw the Justice Department extradition request when a man named Borodin came to the Bush administration. He thought he was going to the Bush inaugural in January of the year that of 2001. Instead, he got clapped in jail in Brooklyn, and in order to request the extradition to Switzerland, Justice Department had to supply detailed information about why he was why he should be sent back, because the Swiss had him on money laundering charges. So I have a copy of that confidential document, and it shows in detail how Banco del Gotardo was moving the kickbacks and bribes through its accounts, and then it would not be surprising that it then got into the Altaqua money-moving business and was probably the prime bank that was used by the Al-Mahdi operation to move the Saddam money. The president of the Banco del Gotardo is Claudio Generale. He's a local vice president of the ruling Liberal Radical Party of Switzerland. He's a former finance minister of Ticino, which is the province where Lugano is based. So this gives you an idea of how a bank, which is apparently rather questionable in its practices, still gets protected in Switzerland.
One of our earlier interviews, specifically FTR 387, you mentioned Carlo Del Ponte, who was the law partner of Pierfelice Barchi, Nada's attorney, who was also involved with the Banco del Gotardo network, is currently overseeing the trial of Slobodan Milosevic, but she declined to pursue some of the money trails when it turned out that some of Slobodan Milosevic's funny money went through some of these same networks.
There was an article by an Italian journalist in Corriere della Sera, which is a rather moderate newspaper, pointing out that Carlo Del Ponte had refused to follow the money trail anywhere into Switzerland.
And it's also interesting to observe that a lot of these financial networks also create strange bedfellows. Some of the people involved with Claudio Generale, such as Begjet Pakuli, of whom you wrote in a Pacific News Service story, were involved with supporting the Bosnian Muslim military efforts in the 1990s. Obviously, they were ranged in deadly fashion against Slobodan Milosevic. But when it comes time to launder the funny money, you'll find that some of the same people and some of the same elements are handling finances for both sides of that divide.
Yeah, in the same way that they'll work for Al-Qaeda and Saddam. They don't care. They'll sell their talents to anybody who wants to pay for them, including, of course, drug traffickers, the mafia, and people like the guys that run Enron, all kinds of corporate crooks. They'll work for anybody. And Pakuli, of course, is the guy who ran the construction company that was making the payoffs to Yeltsin that were going through the Banco del Gotardo.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he ran. That's his construction company.
Oh, how delightful. How delightful. Now, a lot of these networks also run through the United States, Lucy, something that I'd like to develop more on side two, because we're very low on time. We'll develop Mark Rich further. We'll go into a fellow named Roger E. Watson further. We're going to get into some of the Americans involved with Saddam's networks. But before I do that, I want to remind listeners that there will be a detailed, annotated, article-length description of this interview in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com within a week or so of the airing of this program. Sister station WFMU-FM is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent shows are streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery. And among the programs streaming at that address are FTR 387 and FTR 458, both previous interviews with my guest Lucy Commissar. And the Spitfire website has a number of other research materials available, including Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile by the late Paul Manning. There's a search function on that website and a page to click on to support the work that I'm doing. Also note that older For the Record programs are available for download only, also on Real Audio at the at an address that's linked to Spitfire and to the WFMU.org/Dave Emery website. We're going to be continuing with our discussion with Lucy Commissar about some of the Saddam money networks, including some Americans who were involved with this very complex Byzantine financial network. That, however, is going to happen in Side 2. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record Program number 463, interview with Lucy Commissar about the Saddam money network. This is being recorded on June 6th of 2004. For Lucy Commissar, this is Dave Emery saying thanks for listening.